why we are here at the Munster Technological University. I'm delighted to say I have got Anne Looney, External Services Manager with MTU. We've got Gerard Corkery, Head of the Department of STEM, and John Moriarty, Rural Food Skillnet. Good morning to all of you, and thanks for joining us on the programme.
Good morning, Jerry.
And I'm going to start with you. Tell us about today's event from half 8 until 11 o'clock. What's it all about, and who would you like to see come here?
Great. So good morning, Jerry, and good morning to your listeners. So our event today is Connect with MTU, and it's really an opportunity for anybody to come and connect with the university, visit the campus. So whether you're a company looking to find out more about some research supports or looking at getting innovation into your business, whether you're interested in part-time learning, upskilling, you're a company who's looking at maybe talent development within the company, or you're just looking to see maybe you're on a fitness journey and you want to see what Kerry Sports Academy has to offer. So, you know, we run a lot of open days during the year, which would be mostly targeted at CAO applicants, Leaving Cert students and their parents, whereas today's event is a bit more about bringing some industry and startups and companies and community groups as well into the campus to see the facilities that we have and talk, as I said, to our researchers and different departments about, you know, potential partnerships, student projects, work placements. We've also invited some of the partners that we work with as well. So we're delighted to have Kerry County Council here, and they've got people from climate, tourism, their economic division, and the local enterprise office. We've Tech Industry Alliance, which is an organisation that supports over 250 high-tech companies across Cork and Kerry. And we also have Skillnet, and we have John here in studio as well. And Skillnet, you know, collaborate an awful lot on providing courses and training to companies. So, you know, it's a way, I think, to demonstrate to industries and to the general public how we're all working together on mutually beneficial projects and initiatives. And I suppose we're all working towards the one goal of making Kerry, you know, a really attractive place to live and work and study. So, yeah, the doors are open this morning, so we'd welcome anybody who'd like to come and see the campus.
You're trying to, I suppose, underline the importance of the MTU as obviously an educational centre, but obviously a business centre as well for the town and the county.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I suppose, look, you know, we're a university county now, and Tralee is a university town, and that's a really unique opportunity, I think, for us. You know, we've lots of supports, as I said, for businesses through research, but we also support startups. We have our New Frontiers program, which is funded through Enterprise Ireland. So, you know, yeah, it's not just providing courses, I suppose. There's lots of different things that are going on here, a lot of community groups that we work with as well, and helping those. So, yeah, just really building up the county.
Okay, look, we've got a massive construction building next to us here at the Kerry Sports Academy that's taking shape and growing day by day. It's all to do with science, technology, engineering and mathematics. It's the MTU STEM building. Gerard Corkery, Head of the Department of STEM. Tell me, I suppose the reality is taking shape, isn't it, in terms of this building, what it will mean to the university and to the county?
Yeah, Gerard, thanks for having us. Yeah, as you can see, anyone who's passing up here around the North Campus these days can see the constant development of the building. So I suppose this is going way back to 2016, 2017 when the first plans went in. We're based currently, the STEM school is based in the South Campus, which is the traditional IT tree below in Clash, and we have a footprint down there of 1,200 students. So it's very, very exciting for us at the moment that we're now going to be able to move up to this new state-of-the-art STEM building, consolidate everything here on the campus. So we're going to have the school merging in, and the student experience is going to be merging with all the other schools and services here in the university in the North Campus. So it's really exciting. Like, the building itself, as you can see, it's a three-storey building. We're looking at 10,000 square metres. We're going to have state-of-the-art biological science labs. We're going to have state-of-the-art chemistry workshops for engineering. We have an agri-tech hall. We're going to have a large lecture theatre, classrooms, computer labs, student spaces, staff rooms, everything, and office spaces. So it's a really, really contemporary building. I'm really looking forward to it, and it's really going to, I suppose, expose MTU as well for another place for our students to come to.
Is it going to be a big attractor to the college?
I think it is. I think it's now, where we are at the moment is good. We still have our services, we still have our labs, but they're outdated. So, like, you know, I think it will be an attractor, and we're getting it. We can see it in our CAO numbers, especially in our science and engineering courses. The numbers are increasing. Everyone that's passing the locality sees the building, and it's one of the biggest projects in the HEI projects in the country. So, like, that just shows you as well the importance of it.
Yeah, certainly does. John, tell me about Skillnet.
So Skillnet Ireland comprises 70 business networks spread across the country. And these Skillnet business networks, along with our industry partners, aspire to foster talent in the workplace to make a positive impact on Irish SMEs. We offer a comprehensive range of training and development programmes tailored to meet the specific needs of industry. So whether you operate in hospitality, food production or healthcare, or any other sector, our industry-led programmes can equip your team with the skills they need to thrive. Skillnet Ireland actually was recently ranked first out of 47 upskilling initiatives globally by the European Commission, which was a report published last month.
So that's the kind of work you do, and you're providing that link between what industry needs and the training that you can provide to help industry here locally. One of those things you developed with your, I think, was in the part-time course in relation to sustainable agriculture. Tell me a bit about that.
So we had an approach from one of our regional neighbours there, Kerry Group, obviously collaborators, and they wanted to upskill some of their workforce, in their own CPD programme. So, obviously, as John and of you said, Jerry, the whole area of sustainability has become huge, and Kerry Group wanted to embed that into their own CPD programmes. And obviously, the best place to come would be to here to us in MTU, because we have fully agricultural science and sustainable innovative programmes going on here all the time. So we developed a level 7 and cert in sustainable agriculture for the Kerry employees. Obviously it can be rolled out to other agri-food industry partners as well within the region, and that ran there about 12 months ago. Very successful, great feedback, and I suppose it's just showing again that the university is working with the local industry and embedding sustainability goals and into their workforce as well and into their programmes.
That's the kind of direction of travel of things, isn't it? That's where things are going in terms of food production, agriculture, the funding for future development and area, companies developing solutions for farmers and for business along those lines.
This is it, and obviously one of the leading in the world are Kerry in that area. Like, you know, so it just shows you again that they're coming to us as well for that expertise, and it's a great collaboration on the actual CPD side of things, but also in other areas like research as well.
And John, will Skillnet be involved in that going forward?
Oh, absolutely. We'd advocate that maintaining a strong talent pipeline is key in addressing the climate transition that we're currently going through.
Yeah. An example there, we're going to be meeting some of the other companies that are partnering with the MTU. Example of who you'd like to see come here today and continue those links.
Yeah, I mean, look, we're working with an awful lot of companies around the region, you know, and Estellas would be another company that we work actively with, and, you know, Jerry's department there in terms of pharma, you know, and we're delighted, obviously, that they have their new building, which is under construction at the moment, you know, and I think that's another great testament to the university being here. So, look, we're absolutely open to working with companies, whether it's a one-person startup just to, you know, get them off the ground, or whether it's a company that's been around for a number of years and is looking to bring some innovation or look for some innovation partnerships or develop new technologies, you know, that's what we're here for. So the doors are open, and I suppose anyone who's listening who can't maybe make it today to reach out to myself here in MTU in the external services office, and I'm happy then to redirect people across the university to the area of expertise that they need.
Okay, brilliant. So it's started already. It's on till 11 o'clock this morning. Connect with MTU here at the University, Munster Technological University, Kerry College campus, and of course outside the Kerry Technology or the Kerry Sports Academy building. My thanks to all of you for talking to us on the programme this morning. We're at the Kerry Sports Academy. We're talking about the Connect with MTU event, which is running till 11 o'clock this morning. And part of that is the partnerships that the MTU have developed with several different companies and organisations. And I've got a number of different people from those organisations with me. I've got Tim Yeomans, who's Shannon ABC manager. I've got Kieran O'Donoghue, educational outreach manager with AgriTech Ireland. I also have Dave Barry, who's a researcher in the circular bioeconomy. And Tom Fitzmaurice, who's with us from the Intelligent Mechatronics and RFID Technology Gate. We're here at MTU. Good morning to all of you, and thanks for joining us on the programme on this beautiful sunny morning. I hope it's not getting too hot inside in the OB unit for you. Tim, tell me first of all, you know, what tech gateways are. Tell me a bit about Shannon ABC.
Yeah, sure. So the Technology Gateway Network is co-funded by Enterprise Ireland and the European Regional Development Fund. And the reason they fund it is to have a structure in place or a network that provides a bridge for companies to engage with the third level sector. So specifically in the technological universities and Dundalk IT. And so each gateway is has its own area of expertise. So from photonics to biotechnology, from applied Internet of Things to wireless communications. And the idea is that companies will come to these gateways, they'll talk to the centre manager and the business development team, who will help them design different types of projects to address scientific and technical challenges that those companies may have. And I suppose the fundamental piece here really is that there's no wrong door for a company to access. So
companies don't keep things in-house and try, we'll solve this problem ourselves. They need to reach out and develop training programs or develop solutions through the cooperation.
Yeah, exactly. And it's really that solutions piece, I suppose. So if they've got a particular technical challenge within their company or a scientific challenge that they need help with to sanity check something or de-risk something, then they can come and talk to us. And if we can't help them, we'll find somebody else who can. And so there's no wrong door for them to go to. There's a huge amount of opportunity for companies to do research and development in Ireland, but it can be a difficult system to navigate because there's so much option there.
Yeah.
And that's why people like myself and Tom, who manage some of the tech gateways here in MTU in Tralee, are there and available. We're there to help the company solve the problem, whether it's with us or with somebody else. We're there to help them.
Okay, so what does Shannon ABC do?
So we're Shannon Applied Biotechnology Centre. So we're a research centre and technology gateway. And fundamentally, we work with bioresources or natural products and helping companies get more value from those products. So what is in maybe a byproduct or raw material? How do you get it out and what does it do? And we've got lots of equipment and expertise and scientists there on standby, more or less, that when a company comes and says, look, can you help me do X? We're there to help them in the context of, is this a good question to answer? But also, how can you do it? How much does it cost? And where can you get support to do that R&D? Ireland is a fantastic place to do R&D. There's lots of support there for companies to do R&D. And part of our role is to help companies navigate that structure.
I was going to ask, do we have an ecosystem, and the work that you're talking about there, does that become a big factor in the decision of multinational technology companies say, well, look, I'm going to set up a base in Ireland, or this is a good place to go, because you have this, as I said, ecosystem here?
Yeah, no, I think so. Like, there's SFI research centres, there's technology centres, there's technology gateways. So there's lots of opportunity there. It impacts on FDI companies coming to Ireland, but it also impacts on the SME ecosystem in Ireland, that
the
there is
that
absolutely that so we work with the New Frontiers program very closely here in MTU Kerry and in Cork as well, and supporting those companies as they develop, because they're just starting off, they need a little bit of support and advice. And again, not just to mine, myself and Tom, the Tech Gateway program, across MTU as a whole, the facilities and support are there to try and help those companies to develop.
Yeah, okay, all right. Tom, tell me what IMAR does.
Thanks, Jerry. So IMAR is the Intelligent Mechatronics and RFID Technology Gateway. As Tim mentioned, there are 17 in the network. And within MTU, Kerry, the Technology Gateway, IMAR would be part of the broader IMAR Research Centre. So we'd work with companies who are looking to develop new products, processes, you know, new services, or just improve on existing processes that they have. Regards your question with the multinationals, a lot of times the very large companies would have their own internal R&D departments, but the technology gateways, I guess, where they come out on their own is to assist companies that wouldn't have people that would be there to do internal R&D. So they're busy, you know, with their daily routines of manufacturing or harvesting or paying the bills at the end of the week. And that's where, if they reach out to the technology gateways, we do have the people with the experience and the knowledge to be able to investigate, you know, new ideas for them to bring innovation into their company.
That word of innovation, you can help them that, because is it true that if you're not innovating, you're kind of standing still really in that industry?
Yeah, you're standing still and you're not ready for change that might come along. Whereas, you know, looking at innovation, there's many, many benefits, including, you know, increased productivity and efficiency, you know, whereby you're saving money and maybe, you know, reducing waste. Other ways would be to, you know, meet market demands. So, again, innovation comes in many forms. You can have it step by step. I suppose a good example of that would be Gillette, where they have one product, razor blades, but over the years they just keep refining and innovating that one product, reintroducing it, and you know they have a huge market for that. So again, starting off, we have, through Enterprise Ireland again, we can utilize what's called an innovation voucher. So for smaller companies maybe that are out there that are thinking they have an idea but don't have the resources, they can avail of a €5,000 innovation voucher that they can use at one of the technology gateways to investigate an
idea. And sometimes that might be all it takes.
Just to get the ball rolling, and to get started with innovation within a company,
And some new idea might become the biggest part of their business
exactly,
in a couple of years.
Yeah.
Okay, interesting. Kieran, can you tell me, look, you're the educational outreach manager with AgriTech Ireland. Tell me a bit, I suppose, about you know, the AgriTech cluster here. And it is an area of, we hear a lot about it in the news in terms of climate change, and we have a lot of industry here in agriculture in Kerry. So tell me a bit about the cluster and the work that it does.
Sure. So the cluster is a coming together, I guess, of agri-tech companies, so companies who are producing a technology that's used in agriculture, coming together with knowledge providers like the college, like the technology gateways we're listening to here, and I suppose finding opportunities to collaborate together to work to solve challenges that industry has or is facing. And I suppose doing that in connecting with the wider community and the government supports as well that the guys talk about there in terms of R&D supports and other types of supports. So the cluster itself, I suppose, has the focus on technologies that are used in agriculture and helping companies that provide those technologies to accelerate the growth of their companies and to compete not only in Ireland but internationally in terms of growing their businesses and coming up with opportunities, I suppose, and solutions to solve, you know, the many challenges that are facing agriculture today, from improving productivity to being more sustainable with agricultural practices. So a lot of the companies we work with are innovating in that space, and they're looking to grow their businesses in a way that can support agriculture going into the future.
Yeah, an example recently with the desperate winter we've had, I heard one of the biggest tillage farmers in the country, the head of an organization representing them, saying, look, actually the way things are going, we're going to have to look at new technologies, maybe planting new types of crops, different type of year, different fields, depending on whatever. And he was just saying that that's going to have to happen. And that's an example of what you're talking
about. That's an example of it. Exactly, yeah. And I mean, there's a lot of companies, you know, as you mentioned, close to us here. We work with companies, you know, Samco, there's O'Donovan Engineering, Dairy Master, all are offering solutions already in the market. And they're always looking to develop new enhancements to those product offerings that can help, I suppose, improve farm life, improve agriculture, and I suppose we need to try and produce more food really with less and less resources all the time, because we need to be careful with the environment. We know that now, you know, as well as the big challenge of producing more food.
Yeah.
So a lot of the innovation, a lot of, I suppose, the work we do in the cluster is looking at how can we help companies come together and solve some of these difficult challenges that are facing agriculture through the use of developing their products and services. And, you know, it's very interesting work. There's you know, there can be, I suppose, technology has a big part to play in that. I think the linking of technology with scientific advancements is where the real solutions will come from. So we see there, let's say, for example, in methane emissions from animals, we hear about that a lot in the news.
Yeah.
So let's say, you know, a couple of the main possibilities there to improve are in relation to feed supplements that can mitigate the amount of methane that's produced, and also huge advances in genetics. Genetic development, and you know, Ireland would be a world leader in genetics in livestock. And you know, there's huge advancements there, and we're working closely with a number of companies who are active in that space, and it's very interesting. I think there's a lot of change coming there in the future. And from a technology point of view, then there's a company called Moonsys based in Kinsale, and they are developed it's in the market. It's a bolus that goes into the stomach of the cow and gives real time information about what's going on inside there. And so there's interesting work going on with that company. You know, they're connecting that data out to the farmer, can see it in his phone, what's the temperature, what's the feed, is there any health issues. But going forward, it'll be more looking at what trends are there in terms of methane reduction. And I think that's where that, you know, a company like that has an opportunity to have a big impact. You know?
Yeah, and you have, of course, the state-of-the-art virtual reality kind of work here as well that will help companies.
We have that, yes. We have that in the A suite, you know, and I suppose it's what we've seen more in recent times is it's an immersive technology solutions, and it's also a lot of video solutions. So there's a couple of areas where ACE is working with companies. One is around training provision, using immersive experiences, and the other one is really around promotion of companies, their products, their services, you know, giving a more user feel to it, so where you can really go and see the product or see a facility where something is being produced. So, you know, ACE is doors always open to talk with companies across different verticals, not
to come
just
in and have a look and see what it can do for your company.
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely.
Okay, interesting. All right, Dave, Barry, tell me a bit about, I suppose, the bio research group, the Circular Bioeconomy.
Yeah, so the Circular Bioeconomy Research Group was established in MTU in 2019, and it was really in response to the amount of research that was taking place in MTU at the time in the bioeconomy. The bioeconomy, in essence, is using biological renewable resources from the land and sea to create food, feed, and biofuels, and then bio-based products. It's not like the bioeconomy is not a new idea, but really now the research is taking place to maximize the value that we can get from the biological resources that we're creating and try as much as possible to replace like traditional fossil-based products. The group itself is aligned really well because, like the Government of Ireland, say, released in 2023 our action plan for the bioeconomy. We would have contributed to that. We work quite closely with the government and then also with our research partners nationally and internationally, and then with industry. And industry is really one of the key areas in MTU here. So as part of the group then in 21, we established the Circular Bioeconomy Cluster, and that's an industry network of about 67 companies from all around Ireland, not just in the southwest. They all have an interest in the bioeconomy, range from small SMEs to large companies, and the cluster then, what they can offer is industry assistance. Members can get access to research, they can join research projects, then they can also get a researcher to work with them on a problem they might identify, and maybe they can come up with it in like a solution.
Is that like using a byproduct in a better way, not having to ship it off for someone else to deal with increasing cost and environmental damage?
Yeah, so we say byproduct, that's really key. It's like in the past they were called wastes, or you know, whereas now we call them like byproducts or co-products, and then we can maximize the value out of them. Like some of the key areas at the moment, like, you know, in agriculture, water is a big issue at the moment. There's a lot of research taking place currently to see, can we actually create a value from the water, be it like fertilizers, high value fertilizers or other products, and then potentially then the water could be released back into the system, you know, taken with the, you know, issues taken away from it, and then also valorize it in the future. Then, you know, biorefining, so one of the key areas we work on is grass biorefining, so we can maximize the value from grass. So taking fresh grass or ensiled grass, and instead of just feeding it directly to cattle, we can put it through a process, a biorefining process, and then actually you know, make multiple products out of it, bio-based products, feeds for maybe chicken, sheep, things like that, and then also feed cattle.
Yeah.
But one of the key areas where we do want to say is like it's essential that the link exists between innovation within the university sector and the research sector, and then the primary producer, the farmer. And often, like, they can feel that they're left behind and they don't have a voice in this. So what we try and do, like, my role is actually as an engagement officer between the primary producer and the researchers, and we try as much as possible to bring them on the journey. And that's where clusters like ourselves with the Circular Bioeconomy Cluster, and also like with the Ag Tech Cluster as well, they really have a role to play in this.
Yeah, they certainly do. Okay, well, listen, gentlemen, it's been great talking to you. People can come down here, you know, from 11 o'clock, really. But, Tom, how do people get in touch if they want to know more?
So I suppose from the Technology Gateway Network, like Tim mentioned there, there's no wrong door to knock on. So Either contact Tim or myself. It's tim.yeomans@mtu.ie or tom.fitzmaurice@mtu.ie.
And Looney as well was saying earlier on, you can contact her and she'll point you in the right direction.
The right direction, yeah. Or anyone that, for local companies, if you know anyone in the college, they'll definitely be able to get, put them in touch.
Okay, spot on. Keep your comments and views and opinions. We're at the MTU Connect event here outside the Kerry Sports Academy. I'm delighted to say in our outside broadcast unit, I've got Michael Hall, Head of Department of Health and Leisure. We also have Hazel Byrne, who is a Kerry Sports Academy manager. Good morning to both of you and thanks for joining us.
Good morning.
Michael, I'll start with you. A 30 years of health and leisure, you're having a ball next week, is that right?
Well, the students are organising a health and leisure students ball, and this is part of the 30 years celebration. It's hard to think that we were here, we're here 30 years, it's gone in about 6 months, students have organised a ball. I think a good, quite a number of the academic staff and some of our partners are going to be there, the stakeholders are going to be there. And later in June, we'll have a PE Pays conference That's physical activity, physical education, youth sport, conference, and that's part of our celebrations as well, marking the 30 years. And we'll see some of our graduates at that conference as well.
Yeah. How have things changed over the 30 years? In the context of what we see now, there's more of a demand for the whole wellness area has grown, personal training, one-to-one gym instruction as well, we're seeing, and different disciplines coming into it in Kerry and beyond.
Well, 30 years ago, one of our colleagues, Joe Brunton, would have instigated the development of health and leisure as a course. And that was quite far-reaching at the time. It was one of its kind. There were very few similar courses in the country. If you come forward 30 years, I think every university, every higher education institution has a sports, health, exercise, science type programme. And that's reflective of the interest in careers, the availability of careers, but also the better, stronger focus on health and well-being among the population themselves, and it's also helped by national strategies which support that, and funding which support that.
And the national strategy is the government's aim to get people out, get them healthier, get them working, get them factoring more of it into their lives, which then helps the health service in terms of better outcomes.
Absolutely, the idea that you get Ireland moving, get Ireland moving more, you know, is really important. And it's that simple, really, you know, just to simple things, using the stairs, simple things. But what we provide, for example, or we hope to provide as a member of the community here, is we provide opportunities and know-how and confidence and independence among people who want to be active, be they athletes or players or leisure athletes or just people wanting to be a little bit more active. People with disability, people with chronic illness, I always smile when I say the well elderly, you know, as a group as well.
I was talking to a GP recently, and he made the point that, you know, men were coming into him when he started off 30 years ago. They were 60 and 70 years of age, or maybe even 50 years of age, and they were banjacks. They had all sorts of problems. Mm. He now has 70-year-olds coming into him who are sprightly and fit. They're going abroad playing golf. They're travelling more because it's just standards have improved. Healthcare has improved. People's own behaviours have improved, and it's mm-hmm. contributing to our increased average age of living here in the country.
Yeah,
life expectancy.
Yes, the last thing you said, people's own behaviour, people's knowledge, people's realisation of the long-term benefits of exercise and just being active, just going for a walk, walking the dog, walking, you know, anything.
And we'll also be running a teen gym programme where we open up our gym space to 14 to 16-year-olds to give them an education in terms of how to use a gym correctly and safely.
Yeah.
We run lots of different fitness classes, so in our studios and in our hydrotherapy pool. So we have classes like spinning, boxer size, TRX and kettlebells, and then we also run a functional fitness class, which is a great class for beginners to improve their strength and their balance and fitness. We're quite well known, I think, for our hydrotherapy pool around the local area, around the county. So our water is much warmer than a standard pool, so that makes it great for people with chronic health conditions and people with disabilities.
Yeah.
So lots of different activities on in the pool. So anything from swimming lessons, hydro classes, family swim times. We run particular programs for people with different health conditions or people with disabilities. And one of the largest parts of the facility then is our sports hall. So we have three full-size sports halls as well. So that's a great asset for different sporting activities. And then it can also be transformed into an event space as well. Catering for 1,600 people seated. So that's a huge asset for local and regional events. And I'm sure, as you're aware, you've had lots of different
events. Moses Fleet, everything else like that.
Yes, vaccination centre and everything as well. Yes.
Yeah, 100%. Mm-hmm. What advice would you give to someone who is, like, you know, wanting to go on this fitness journey and well-being journey? Mm-hmm. How can the Sports Academy help them?
Sure. So the National Physical Activity Guidelines would say that you should take at least 2.5 hours of moderate intensity exercise every week, you know, for health reasons. And then in terms of what types of exercise should you be doing, the guidelines would say that you should be doing muscle strengthening exercises twice a week as well. Every physical activity movement counts. The more physical activity is better, and it'll bring additional health benefits. And, as everybody knows, physical activity can have a protective effect. effect on all the different health conditions.
So that's the way to look at it, and look at it from that point of view. Okay, and Mike, finally, I know the other side of that health journey is the nurses, and we have a nursing department here that's doing huge work to try and encourage and identify and train the talent that we need for that health and well-being situation as well.
Absolutely, and the, you may know that over the years there has been a shortage of nurse graduates in Ireland, and last year was for the first time there's been an increase in the number of in the intake of nurses. I think it was certainly in Kerry it was 30 an additional 30 first year students, and that will continue. The nurses in graduating from here are regarded as being excellent. I think they have a holistic view of the person, and they have lots of experience. They get lots of experience from first year to second year, third year, and into fourth year. And they have the top of the building. I can almost see it from here. There's a hospital ward, so with of these things.
Brilliant facilities.
Really
brilliant. Okay, look, Michael and Hazel, thanks so much for joining us on the program. Continued success with the work you're doing here.